The reading today is Acts chapter 8, starting to read at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is a passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today we're starting a mini series of sermons leading up to Easter on cross purposes, how the gospel is preached in Acts. This picks up from where we left off a couple of years ago, I think, which we skipped over last year as we were in the midst of going into lockdown. Acts records for us the first 30 years of church history as the apostles and other believers put Jesus's last instructions before his ascension into practice. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." As Acts 19:20 describes it, "In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power." Acts authenticates the work of the early Christians as a work by the Holy Spirit and of the Holy Spirit. It is a transitional book, a bridge from the Gospels to the Epistles, from law to grace, and from synagogue to church. It describes how the gospel spreads out from its Jewish origins in Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria and the Samaritans, and finally to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. As Scott described it, it's like dropping a stone in a lake and watching the ripples move out in all directions. Prior to our reading today in Acts chapter 8, the church had been born with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But after the stoning of Stephen, a great persecution had broken out, scattering believers throughout Judea and Samaria. And as the church is scattered, so the gospel is spread abroad. But before I go further, I want to ask you, Have you ever felt you were the right person in the right place at the right time? Right person in the right place at the right time. Have you ever turned up at someone's house or given them a call just when they most needed it? Perhaps they were feeling down and needed a word of encouragement or had an urgent prayer request. I can recall an incident some years ago when I called in to see my grandmother in my lunch hour from work. She had collapsed in a bathroom and she may have been there for hours if I hadn't have dropped in. Also, before I came to the Lord, I had a Christian friend who kept in touch with me at the most awkward times. Perhaps I was just heading out towards a football match or a party. But when the time came and I needed to speak to someone, he was there. If we are walking with God, he will guide our path. We see this today in this passage in the most dramatic way. Philip, one of the deacons chosen by the apostles in Acts chapter 5, not to be confused with Philip the apostle, had gone on a one-man evangelistic mission way beyond his PCC role descriptor. After taking the word of God to Samaria, he is now guided by an angel to the desert road from Jerusalem to the old city of Gaza. Verse 27 tells us that on arrival, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This was a man of some importance, the equivalent of our Chancellor of the Exchequer. In verse 28, we learn he had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was sitting in his chariot, reading part of the book of Isaiah, which would have been on a scroll. The chariot would have had a separate driver, so there was no difficulty in reading and contemplating the word of God while travelling home. Perhaps he had left Jerusalem feeling there was something he hadn't fully understood, and perhaps there was something he was missing. He was seeking God in the scriptures. As it was common to read aloud, Philip would have heard the familiar verses in Isaiah, and the Spirit instructs him, "Go to the chariot and stay near to it." Literally, go and glue yourself to it. There is some debate among commentators whether the Ethiopian was an actual eunuch, as this description could also be used as a title denoting someone of high military or political rank. We don't know for sure. Additionally, a question mark hangs over the ethnicity of the eunuch. Was he a Jew or was he a Gentile? Commentators lean towards him being a Gentile convert to Judaism, which provided he had been circumcised and he followed the Torah, would have given him full access to temple worship. However, if he were a eunuch, Jew or Gentile, despite his privileged occupation, he would have been designated a proselyte at the gate. Mosaic law stated that anyone who had been emasculated by crushing or cutting could not enter the assembly of the Lord. He would be allowed only as far as the court of the Gentiles and no further. He therefore would have been spiritually disadvantaged because of his physical infirmity. In verse 30, Philip asks the Ethiopian if he understands what he is reading. He replies, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me, and invites Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch asks, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And this is one of the most profound questions anyone can ask, one with eternal consequences. Who are the scriptures talking about? In fact, the eunuch is reading one of the most wonderful and detailed prophecies of the Old Testament, which sheds revelation about the promised Messiah, written 700 years before the death and suffering of Jesus on the cross. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The quote in Acts is just part of the prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 through to 53, verse 12. It describes a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, who was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And Jesus identified himself with this servant in Mark 9:12, when he said, why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected? On hearing Philip's explanation and to show that he had accepted Christ, the eunuch stopped the chariot and was baptized. Verse 39 tells us that as soon as they came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit caught Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again. While I would have been amazed at this spiritual transportation, the eunuch seemed unperturbed and went on his way rejoicing that he had come to know the long-awaited Messiah. Searching of the scriptures and seeking after God had been rewarded. Isaiah 53 is one of the scriptures that has had one of the most profound effect on Jews who have come to faith. Interestingly, this chapter has been removed from the synagogue's liturgical cycle of public readings, the equivalent of our lectionary. Jews will not be allowed in public services. Rabbis will argue that Isaiah 53 refers to Israel suffering in a Gentile world, which of course the text does not allow. While most of us won't have any Jewish friends, one way we can follow Paul's principle found in Romans chapter 1, that the gospel is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, is to support one of the many ministries which witness to Jews, many of them run by Messianic Jews who have come to faith in Jesus for themselves. Alternatively, we can pray for the peace of Jerusalem as per Psalm 122. In doing so, we are effectively praying for the Jewish people, that they may come to recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Philip, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, was the right person in the right place at the right time, and brought the gospel message to the Ethiopian eunuch. As we walk with God in our daily lives, the people who cross our path have been put there by divine appointment. God loves them and has brought them into our lives. If appropriate, are we open? Are we prepared to speak to them of our faith? As Rico Tice would challenge us, are we prepared to cross the pain barrier and lead the conversation onto spiritual matters? Are we willing to be directed like Philip, to take the gospel where the Lord has directed us? But I think there are other aspects to think about of this passage, tucked as it is between the start of chapter 8 with the gospel going to the Samaritans and chapter 10 with the convert Cornelius. Firstly, it brings the gospel back to a personal level. Here, Luke turns the spotlight on just one person who was seeking God. This shows us that each one of us is precious to God, and God will meet us as individuals in our own particular circumstances. It also demonstrates God's grace under the new covenant. Assuming the Ethiopian official was a eunuch, barred from entering the house of God, he can now come fully into the presence of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in his heart. God's abundant spiritual blessings are available to all by grace, through faith, no matter how sinful we may have been. No wonder he went on his way. As we approach Easter, let's think once more about the Passover lamb who was led like a sheep to the slaughter, who died that we might live. For those of us who have may not accepted Jesus as Saviour, perhaps now is the time to ask, who is the prophet talking about? Who is this servant who poured out his life unto death to bear the sins of many? Amen.